Okay, here we
Hello.
go. Are you ready?
Yep. Hi, I'm Judy D. And it is November 30th, 2019. And I'm here with my son, Gary.
Well, actually, yeah, I think you should be more specific. How old are you?
Okay. I'm 81.
And where do you reside now?
I live in Placentia, California.
Okay. And I am Gary Bagdasarian. I now reside in Stanton, California, and I am 51 years old. And so my first question would be...
Oh, and Gary is my son.
Yes, and so Judy is my mother, so it's a mother and son conversation. Can you tell me about the time, I'm going to take you back to your roots, can you tell me about the time that you were younger and you were told not to go somewhere... And you end up with an injury.
Well, there are two stories for that. The first one is, I wasn't told not to go there, but it was implied. When I was 15, the first day after school ended, my friend Phyllis and I wanted to go to a lake called Batterson Park in Connecticut, and go swimming. And the lake had two sides. It had one side where there was a sandy beach and dressing rooms and lifeguards, etc. And that cost a quarter to get in. And our mothers gave us each a quarter. But we didn't want to spend the quarter. So we went to the other side of the lake, which was undeveloped, and people used to go there, and there was rocks, and there wasn't a sandy beach, etc. Well, I stepped into the water, and I felt a pain in my foot. I ended up stepping on a broken beer bottle, because people used to go and throw bottles in the air and shoot them for target practice. Lucky for me, there was a bunch of older teenagers there, and one guy had a pickup truck because my foot was bleeding all over the place, and he loaded our bikes in the back of his truck and drove us to the doctor in town, where I had to have 28 stitches in my foot.
So did you learn your lesson, you think, of
Actually,
maybe...
it turned out to be a turning point in my life. Because when the doctor, who knew our family and took care of us from infancy, he said, drove me home, and my friend who lived next door, and he said, Judy, I'm going in the house. I'm talking to your mother. Stay in the house. And he went in and talked to my mother. When I went in the house, I was, of course, scared out of my wits. I was going to get in big trouble. My mother didn't say too much. But the next morning, she said, if you think you're sitting around here all summer doing nothing because you can't go swimming due to your injury, you can't really walk too far, I have signed you up for sewing lessons at the Singer Sewing Store in town. I thought that was the worst punishment I could ever have.
Oh, were you against, like, the home ec type of training, or?
I had hated home ec in seventh grade. My attempt at an apron and a skirt were pathetic.
Okay.
They weren't
that great, huh?
No, and I did not enjoy it.
Okay.
However, that was a turning point because I learned to sew. I learned to use a sewing machine, and I learned to sew, and that really has been a lifelong skill, and now in my older years, a hobby, which is quilting.
Yeah, because you taught me how to, like, crochet and sew on a button and things
right,
like that.
Right.
And now, like you said, now what is your favorite thing to do?
Quilting.
Yeah, and you make some beautiful artwork and pieces and gifts.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I don't think they're that beautiful, but I enjoy doing it.
Well, have you ever had anybody disappointed by when you give them a quilt?
I've never said so.
I guess that's something.
Maybe they are, but I remember my sister had this book that somebody gave her that said, Don't you just love all the dorky homemade craft gifts you get for Christmas?
Yes.
So maybe people feel that way. Okay. Said anything.
Okay, and then taking you back to when the place, so I didn't realize that you just wanted to save a quarter. So the place that you paid a quarter was like more established and safer.
Yes, it had bars.
Oh, okay.
Had dressing room,
okay.
Like a snack bar, etc.
And you went, but you guys went to the free part.
Correct.
That all the people would party and things like that.
Correct.
Do.
Because we wanted to spend the quarter.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. So what could you buy for a quarter possibly at that time if you remember?
Oh, we could have bought probably a soda and maybe a candy bar.
Okay.
Or some snacks.
Okay, so it was you could buy something with it.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So. I have another one. That was the story I was thinking about. Can you tell me about the time, you might have been younger, I guess, about the time you were supposed to go to the circus?
Oh, yes. The Barnum & Bailey Circus was coming to town, to Hartford, Connecticut, in 1944. My father was off work. We had a week vacation. We stayed at a lake called Bashan Lake where my uncle owned a cabin. And we were there for a week's vacation. My father was going to take me to the circus. Unfortunately, my father liked to drink too much. My father got drunk, passed out, did not take me to the circus. The next day, when he walked to the little store down near the lake, and he came back in order to justify the fact that he didn't take me, because, of course, Mother was furious.
Right.
He threw the newspaper on the table and said, "Look at that," because that was when there was the great circus fire.
Right, right.
Where
which
200 people, mostly children, were killed.
Yeah.
To death when the tent caught on fire.
Yeah, so that's an interesting that he justified his drinking.
Yes, of
and
course.
Yeah, so.
It wasn't his fault.
Right, right.
And I would have been killed.
Yeah, interesting though. So it's interesting that event happened. moving right along, I guess I'll go in historical order then. Can you tell me about your first job?
My first job was in the Embassy Movie Theater, other than babysitting. My first real job was in the Embassy Movie Theater in New Britain, Connecticut, where I just saw a sign that said help wanted and walked in and got the job working behind the candy counter. There was only one problem. I came home. I had not asked my mother if I could get a job.
Oh, you just on your own.
I just on my own walked in and got the job. And I walked home and told my mother I had a job. And she immediately proceeded to have a big fit.
And
your grades are going to suffer.
How old were you? Were you,
15,
okay, same age
15.
Then. So 15 had a lot of
Correct.
Experiences for
yes,
you.
Yes, it was. This was near the end of the summer, I think.
Okay. And back then they didn't have to have you didn't have a child, a work permit or anything
well,
for,
did,
or,
but
oh.
I didn't have one.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I didn't know I needed one.
Okay.
And matter of fact, the first.
So what happened with grandma, with your mom, with
well,
my grandma, your mom?
I mean, my mother had many problems dealing with my father, who was an alcoholic and gave her part of his paycheck to maintain the household and drank away the rest.
Okay.
So she and I was probably a stronger personality than she was.
And if you can remember, like, how much was it to go to the movies? And I mean, or how much was your hourly?
I made 75 cents an hour.
Okay. Okay.
And as a matter of fact, the manager after I was there about a week or so, he came out and said, "How old are you?" And I told him I was 15. And he about turned pale. He said, "Well, where's your work permit?"
Oh, okay.
I said, "I don't have
Now,
one.
Were you tall for your age?
Yes,
were you
I was tall.
So you might have looked older or okay.
I did look older.
Okay, so you might have looked older,
I
so they
go
just
get a work permit and come back.
Okay.
Before I could get my first
And your mom probably had to sign that then. Is
yes,
or right. You had to get some kind of permission.
Correct.
Okay. excuse me. And so I'll move on. Let me talk about my first job, too, since we're talking about that.
Okay.
mine was I mean, before Odd Jobs, was at Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park, California. And I remember I turned 16, and before they would only hire 18-year-olds, but it was the first summer they were going to try 16-year-olds. And I guess that worked out for them. It worked out for me, but I remember I made, it's funny you said 75 cents an hour that you made. I made $3.35. But you know what? When you're making that money and it's your own, it seems like a lot of money. Because at that time, obviously, you know, I was 16, you were paying the bills and everything. Yeah, so I didn't, so I could spend on fun stuff. And it was a fun job. You know, I worked at the Cable Car Kitchen. I basically would say, "Hi, welcome to Cable Car Kitchen. May I take your order?" And they would say, "Burger and fries." And it was interesting for me that they had the old type of registers where we had to write down everything that you ordered, add it up, add the tax chart, punch it in, ring, ring. Mm-hmm. And then, and it was great because I worked there one summer and then a couple hours during the winter time and all that. So summertime is their busy time. And then it was great though, because the very next year, I was 16, I was 17 now. I became a trainer, and we'd gotten the new digital registers. And I don't know if I might have gotten a raise or anything, but I can't remember, you know, how much more it would have been. But I remember making that $30.35.
Do you remember when you got in trouble when you were working at Knott's?
Well, during the training phase, yes. It was my first job and almost got fired because I trained on the cable car kitchen side, and it had a buffet and an ice cream parlor. So learning the buffet was easy. You learn how to bus tables and things, or you watch them take the food, or you know. And so I worked one time in the busing area, and it was cool because you made tips. But I remember the ice cream parlor. So the ice cream parlor, you know, you could get sundaes and all that. And I was being trained by this young girl. Can't remember her name, but we'd had a lot of downtime, so we'd play around. And what happened when we played around was, she splashed me with water from where they scoop the ice cream. You know, you dip it in the water, and as a defense, I took the whipped cream thing, which is in the spray can, and I didn't realize that the force that came out and sprayed half of her with whipped cream. Now, the only thing that made us get caught was that she screamed out so loud, "Ah!" that they came and saw this mishap. So, what was it? Gary to the office, please. Gary to the office. And I got to say, my boss's name was Mary Kidwell, I believe. And she had the look of disappointment like you would, my mother. Like, what did you do that for? She's like, "We're going to cut you a break. Don't do that again." So that was my first job also. So.
And also, I remember you came home after you had worked there a few days, when you first worked there, and you said, "I never realized how cranky people could be when they were hungry and waiting for their food."
Yeah, that's probably true. And I still learned that in most of my career, well, still my career. So now I'm going to take you back again. Can you tell me about when you met my dad, my biological dad?
We met at a party. My friend Liz had three brothers. And one of them, Bobby, was about 23 or 24, and he was going off to college. He was going back to college. This was at the end of the summer. It was around Labor Day. He was going back to college, and also your dad, Kayvon, had just gotten discharged from the Army.
Okay, so and how old were you then at that time?
Just about 18.
Okay.
I was going to start my X-ray training like the next week.
And so he was how much older than, I guess?
4 years, 4 or 5 years older.
Okay,
than me.
So he was in his younger 20s.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
He had finished his time in the Army.
Okay. And, but...
And we met at the party.
Okay.
And we talked, and I had known a lot of my friend Luz's brother's friends. I knew most of these guys.
Okay.
And yet, you know, because they were all young guys, and there were a couple I had a crush on, but they either girlfriends or interested in me.
Yeah, which
and
happens.
I met him, and, you know, we were talking and had a good time, and he got my phone number.
Okay.
But then he never called.
Oh, okay. That's typical. I get that from my dad then. I've gotten many women's numbers, and I was too chicken to call them and never, you know, so there's a lot of what-ifs out there.
So I
got that from my dad then. Get a number and don't call. Okay.
Well, well, this was in September. Around the first part of November, he calls me.
Oh, okay.
He asked me to go out.
Oh, okay.
And I found out the reason why he hadn't called before.
Okay.
I don't know if you even know this story.
Okay.
He got out of the Army, so he didn't have a heck of a lot of money.
Okay.
He didn't even have a car, because his parents did not have a car.
Okay.
Father did not drive. He was a disabled veteran from the First World War. And he didn't have a car. He wanted a car, and he wanted a job. Well, Bernie Guida, who owned Guida's, well, his father owned Guida's dairy.
Okay.
In Connecticut, gave him a job as a milkman.
Oh.
And he let him drive the milk truck home.
Okay.
So he did not want to.
He didn't want to come pick you up in a,
for a date.
In a milk truck, huh? That would have been great, huh? Here I am to get you.
Yeah.
Hey, you sit in the back with the cans of bottles
of milk.
Okay.
He didn't last long at that job.
Oh, okay.
I think the first part of the year, or maybe sooner, he'd gotten a job at Fafner Bearing, which was one of the manufacturing plants in town, like an office-type job.
Okay.
You know, administrative.
Okay.
And then he saved up and bought a car. I don't remember his first car.
Okay, and so had you dated many guys before that? I mean, you were, you know, was teenage dating popular? Or you just kind of go out, or was it?
No.
Was it? I mean, you worked at the movie theater for maybe a while, and then you went to school.
I worked at the movie theater till about after I was in my training about 6 months.
Okay.
Since
so,
I really wanted money, I kept the job and worked there a few nights a week.
And then after that, you
and
went
after
on to.
That, I quit.
Okay.
Actually,
did you have any other jobs after that, or did you? I mean, did you go back to school? But I mean,
it's my X-ray job.
Okay, so you were you in training at that time
Correct.
For the X-ray?
Correct.
Oh, okay. They're that young, huh?
I started my training like the week after we met.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
So I work extra hours at the hospital.
Right.
Things and were a little looser then.
And so, yeah, so you didn't do a whole lot of dating then?
No.
A couple of dates here and there?
I had one boyfriend in high school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He broke up with me.
Okay.
He was a senior. I was a freshman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I went to the senior prom, his senior prom.
Oh, okay.
And after about a, I think we maybe dated close to a year. And he
okay.
broke up with me, which I was devastated.
Right.
And I had a couple of one or two dates
okay.
in high school, but
okay.
not a real boyfriend.
Okay. And so then how long did you, like, date Dad? And then he, like, proposed and all that. How long was that process? Was it common to date a long time or no in that time? Or?
Well, that was 56 when I met him, 1956. And we dated. And we got engaged in 1958.
Okay.
And then got married in 1959.
Okay. And then let's kind of fast forward. To how did you end up moving to California? Because your family and everybody's in New Britain, Connecticut, and the Connecticut area.
Correct.
And his family also was in
yes.
that general area?
Yes.
So how did you end up moving to California? And
well, shortly before we got married, he had wanted to go back to college because he had gone to college before he went in the Army to the local college in our town, which at the time was a two-year college. Since now it's a four-year university, but he had started going to college there. And as he said, he majored in playing cards.
Oh.
So he flunked out.
Oh.
So his father said, "You're going into the Army."
And that's interesting because I never learned any gambling from Dad. He really never mentioned that and all that.
Learned card playing from his father.
So that's, you know, he never really, I mean, he taught me a few basic card games, but nothing like gambling cards.
Right. Well, he pretty much, well, he didn't do it a lot.
But he was,
he was a good card player.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I never knew that fact.
He learned that from his father.
Okay.
His father was a good card player.
Okay. And then after that, so he had dropped, you said dropped out of college.
He dropped out of college.
And that was in Connecticut.
That was in Connecticut.
Okay.
He went in the Army, and he was stationed in Puerto Rico. He was, I'm not too sure of the term of it, but he worked in, like, the supply place.
Okay.
Where people would come in and buy their groceries. Right. And
but that was before. That was before you were married.
Before I met him, I did not know him when he was in the Army.
Okay, so then, but I'm saying, how did you guys get to California?
Oh,
so you got married.
Okay.
You got married, and he had a job.
To go back to school.
Right, because he had dropped out, and that's why he went to the Army.
Okay.
Every job okay.
He applied for, they wanted somebody with a bachelor's
degree. Uh-huh, okay.
So he went to school full time for about a year and a half.
That was still in Connecticut.
In Connecticut. So what? University of Hartford.
Oh, okay.
And then. He got his first job was at the American Hardware Company.
Okay.
Corbin Hardware. And it was a management training program.
Okay.
And the management training program was about a year where he had to go through, you know, even start in the factory where the people were making locks by hand.
Okay.
The old guys that had been making
years and
work a certain period of time in all departments.
All right.
And he came home one day and said, they've offered me a transfer to California, Southern California, because the person there is retiring.
Okay.
To be a technical representative.
And how did you feel about that? Because your family and everything was
I
in Connecticut.
Feelings. I didn't care at the time. I didn't really like the town of New Britain.
Okay.
I never liked cold weather, but
okay.
I didn't want to leave my sister.
Right, okay.
I didn't think I cared if I left my mother.
Okay.
But as far as my sister was concerned, yes. And
okay, so that was the...
two were fairly dependent on us.
Right.
His mother had polio when he was about 3.
Okay.
And she walked with a limp and had a bad arm.
Oh, okay.
And his father was a World War I veteran, disabled, like 95% disabled.
Okay.
So
you...
I would say I reluctantly said, well, okay, you know, when you're in those days...
And at that time, too, it's right, the husband had the job, because you were...
That's right.
Were you working at that time, too? So you still
were...
And what were you doing?
X-ray.
You were doing x-rays.
Hospital.
Which hospital?
New Britain General.
Okay, so then you packed up and you...
Packed up, moved to California.
Okay, so moving forward, and then he was working the job.
Correct.
And now, were you working at the time in California? Did you get a job, or did
when
you...
When he came to California, to Whittier, and he traveled a lot. His territory
okay.
was as far north as St. Louis Obispo, and all of Nevada and Arizona.
Okay, so
I'm gonna
kind of fast forward a little bit. So when did you? How many years were you in California before you bought the Buena Park house?
We were in California 5 months.
Oh, okay. So you
my
were able
job,
to buy the.
When we first came, my job was to find us a house. Because
okay.
Somebody in New Britain, who knew a lot about business before we left, had said, California, this was 1963, California is growing, they're building a lot, buy a house.
Wow, okay.
Buy a house.
And was that good advice?
It was very good advice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good advice, and we could not afford a house in Whittier.
Interesting.
Whittier, the houses were way over
really?
Budget.
Interesting.
We looked in La Mirada, but we couldn't afford a house.
Now they were more. Were they more established at the time?
Whittier was quite established.
Okay.
La Mirada was also kind of established, not that old as Whittier, but Buena Park was fairly. The houses were about. Well, our house that we bought had been built in 1957.
Okay, and that was what 63. Year? What year were you? 63. You were 63. So
yes.
Okay, it wasn't that old.
And
it really.
No, actually, and since we decided we'd pick Buena Park because there were other small towns being built, but we thought.
And
Knott's Berry Farm was there.
Okay, Knott's Berry Farm was there.
Hotels.
Okay.
The city already had a civic center. It had a library.
So it's starting to grow in itself.
It was growing, and it was like not to taxpayers, you're going to have to pay for all this.
And then what was in the area back at that time too for many years? What kind of land was it?
The surrounding area.
Yeah, what could you find
this? Dairy land.
Okay.
Matter of fact, one of the towns, which is now either Cypress or La Palma, was dairy land, and the other one was called Dairy Valley.
Okay.
And there were cows in huge pens.
Okay.
And believe me, you still knew
so
there
now,
were cows there.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you smell
yes. In the hot summer, yes.
Smell the
could.
Cows, I guess you could say.
Yes, you could. And little by little, the cows were moving out, and that process took maybe, I don't know, several years.
Okay, so the saying goes, you know, if you first get married, then you start working, I get established. So then what happens naturally after that? They say, when are you going to start having kids?
Children.
When do you have kids? So at what point did you start to try to have kids? You had the house, and he had the job.
Well,
and
remember, those days, there was limited ways to prevent having children.
Right, right. But you weren't on birth control or anything.
No.
So you guys were...
Yes.
A regular couple.
Correct.
Okay. And so you came down to California,
right.
Bought the house.
Before
and
I had come to California,
after you,
the gynecologist that I saw in Connecticut who said, I'm not telling you you'll never get pregnant, but he said, because I've made that mistake with women before.
Okay.
But if your chances right now of getting pregnant are pretty slim.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so
if you want a family, you should adopt.
But they didn't really have a lot of research on fertility and all that stuff.
No, they
just didn't. It was a male doctor basing what he knew about. And we know that doctors practice medicine.
Correct.
And you didn't, because it probably cost a lot of money too.
Well, and if there were tests, there was nothing we were interested
right.
in or could afford.
So then you had the house, and at what point did you say, okay, we know we might not be able to have children the natural way.
Actually, it was the father that said, it's time. We need to do something about adopting.
Okay. And do you know what time was that? So you had the house for how long? Was it a year or so or less than that? Would it be?
It was probably early 65.
Okay. So not too long after the house.
Correct. Like a year and a half or so.
Okay.
And I admit I was dragging my feet because I was afraid of my ability to take care of a baby.
Okay, which is understandable.
Because I really never liked babysitting.
Oh, okay. And you did babysitting, though.
Did you like
kids, per se, or?
I liked kids when they got old enough where you could talk to them and do stuff. But
okay.
I really wasn't too crazy
okay,
about
a baby holding it and taking care of everything that a baby.
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay. And
so then we applied to Children's Home Society.
Okay.
And the process.
And what was that?
We went to the Santa Ana.
What? No. What was that?
It's an adoption agency.
Okay. Okay.
Other child services.
Oh, okay.
Too.
Okay.
But we were at the Santa Ana office. And the process was kind of involved, like an initial group meeting, and then you filled out a big application, and you had people write letters for you, and then you met with caseworkers several times together, and then alone.
Wow,
and
so...
came to the house.
Okay. And now, at that time, did you have to show them you had, like... a room for a kid yet, or
yes.
they just want to see the home
yes.
environment? Or did
yes.
you have to have like a room set up for a
you
boy or a girl?
You
or
have to have it set
like,
up,
but
you had to have a place, a stable house or an
okay.
apartment, wherever you were living, and there had to be a room, separate room for the child.
Okay.
Or the baby.
Okay.
But you didn't like to have to have...
They didn't want you living in squalor.
Correct.
So...
Correct. And, you know, they did background checks and all that.
Okay.
And you had to have letters from, we got a letter from the church.
Okay.
And we had to have some friends write letters.
Now, let me just, I'm gonna kind of pause for a minute. Were dad's parents, when did they move? Was that after, was that way later? Or
that
were
was
they?
Laura, my daughter, was.
Well, wait, don't go to that.
Well, I know, but okay. That was
so did they move after you
afterward,
got?
Yes.
So, okay, so go on, continue
yes,
then.
Afterward.
Continue.
As a matter of fact, being old school, my father-in-law was very much against us adopting.
Okay, so, but you were in the process. Correct. They interviewed you.
Correct.
They checked out your home environment.
Correct.
Then how long was, like, the wait? When did they?
Actually, they told us the wait would be quite a while.
Okay.
So we weren't in any rush, and, you know, I wasn't buying baby clothes or
anything.
And we had said we would take, you know,
you had to wait and see. You just had to wait and see.
Right. And we got the letter on a weekend. Like, we received the letter on a Friday saying, congratulations, you have been approved. You will be awaiting placement.
Okay.
So we were so excited, we decided to go away for the weekend, and we drove to Solvang.
Wow, okay. So you celebrated that you were going to be put, it was your last free weekend.
Yeah, right.
It was your last free weekend, and then you were in store for something, a great adventure.
Correct.
So then you got Mora.
I came home, and then Monday morning,
wow,
the phone rang.
And they said, what, come pick her up?
Well, no, you have to go once. We have a baby for you.
Wow, you got to go.
Matched you, and can you come tomorrow, like 9 o'clock in the morning,
okay,
and meet the baby?
Okay.
But you couldn't take, we already knew you couldn't take the baby home the same day.
Yeah, they have to see if you bond with the baby, maybe.
Correct.
Huh? Interesting.
And we'll decide, you know, or, hey, the history and all.
Oh,
that.
I see. Oh, okay.
So the next day, they didn't tell us anything about, just there was a girl.
Okay.
So the next day, we went down. And
so Dad, was he wanting more to be the parent, you think, than you at that? I mean, or because were you still apprehensive?
Yes, I was still apprehensive. And
so just because, but
this was a 5-pound baby,
which is a
that had been premature.
Oh, I see. So you know it's gonna be more care, possibly more care.
And this big, 5 pounds,
oh,
was very big.
Okay, so then
she had just been released from the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Like the week before.
So you went and saw her and
held her, and so you had a room and you could spend some time.
Okay.
And, you know, then they told us.
And I'm guessing you were probably nervous then, too, I guess.
Of course, yes. And not only that, you know, how many people were going to say, no, we don't like the way this baby
looks. Yeah, exactly.
So, so we had to scramble around because we had nothing, especially since she was a baby.
Oh, okay. So you had to go shopping for a baby and set up.
The next day.
So how long, I mean.
So
you couldn't take her home that day.
No, we had to go back the following day.
So you had to go
sign all the papers.
You had to go and shop, and then and then set up a room.
Correct.
Wow.
Well, actually, we didn't have time to
but,
get the crib.
Well, yeah, right. But the baby basics.
Said, put her. She's so small that she's and she likes to be wrapped tightly.
Okay.
Put her in a dresser drawer.
Okay.
So, which I thought was awful, but it was the best thing because not only that, a crib was too big.
Okay.
So
maybe that explains some things.
It probably does. Well,
so
it explains a lot about your sister because
so
she was in UC Irvine Hospital from birth until she was 7 weeks old.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
you know, the nurses try and bond, but
well, I always think preemies are always miracles.
Correct.
I mean, you know, my current relationship, I won't mention names, but you know, she was a preemie also, and she's pretty amazing.
Right.
I'm gonna kind of fast forward because believe it or not, we are running more out of time.
We are.
So then, you were a mom to Mora and Dad, and then how long was it before I came along? Because you were happy with one child and had your hands full with one child. Mm-hmm. So
we
then
talked about adopting another.
Oh, okay, you did. So you said,
we
okay, maybe. Oh, interesting.
Baby.
Okay. And so how much longer, like, when you guys, because I came a different route.
Yes.
Obviously.
Well, I think it was about the end of 67 when I didn't feel good.
Okay.
And I was, my friend Patty kept saying to me, "You're pregnant," and I kept saying, "No, I'm not."
Did you feel sick or anything, or did you feel
tired?
Like
okay, all the time.
Okay,
I wasn't sick to my stomach, but I was eating a lot, and I was sure that
Something you thought maybe something was wrong with you? Oh, something was wrong with you. Interesting.
So I went to the doctor,
something was wrong with
and
you.
He said, "Well, guess what? You're pregnant."
Wow, and that must have been
4.5 months.
Oh, wow. So you were now. May I ask you, were you drinking or smoking at that time at all, or?
I never smoked, but you know, in that time, we did drink coffee.
Well,
I would have a drink. I used to drink scotch.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so
not, you know, one.
I mean, you'd have a drink. You'd go to a social thing and have a drink, or even at home, was that normal to have a drink at home, kind of thing, or no?
Most of the time,
so it's more like
okay.
So that explains a lot for me then. But
just you know, that was about it because we didn't. Paying that much attention to different, you know, those things.
Okay, so then we are really running out of time quite a bit. I do have more questions for you.
Okay, go ahead.
So fast forward. So you were married and had me finally, and then I came along in November 16th, 1968. I know that because that's my birthday. And then if you could just say shortly the end of the relationship. Just,
well,
I mean, if you can do it quickly.
Okay, quickly. All
just.
Right. I'll try and be quick. In the end of 1971, when your dad was working in the bank, he kept coming home and he was talking about this woman that worked in the bank named Kitty, who was going through a divorce.
Okay.
And how she was really a nice person, and her first husband was really awful and this and that. And I kind of like a red flag went up.
You were just a homemaker at that time?
I was working weekends.
Oh, you were, okay.
I would work doing x-ray, taking a call, but basically I was a homemaker.
Okay.
And then we went to the Christmas party for the bank.
Okay.
And I met Kitty.
Okay.
And I knew. I came home the next day, I called my friend Daddy, and I said, I met this woman who was after my husband.
Okay.
So it was in February that I found out for sure.
Okay. Is that when you found out that they were doing something?
Correct.
So, okay.
Okay.
So I'm gonna fast forward, and then you got a divorce and you had a custody battle, all that, and you won.
Right.
And so I'm gonna go to the next chapter of your life that was longer.
Is this all the time it's left?
Yes, that's it. So so can you tell me about when you met Phil?
I met Phil on Laura's 8th birthday. Our friend Vicky had fixed me up, had said her friend from Santa Barbara, who had also been divorced, his wife had left him, was coming for the weekend, and he asked her to fix him up for dinner. Well, since I wasn't dating anybody, I think you kids were gone for the weekend, I said sure, because I liked Vicky and I liked her husband.
Okay.
And I met Phil.
Okay.
I really thought he was a nice guy and interesting person, but he lived in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
So, met him then, and I had already made a decision I wasn't going to get married until you kids were grown up.
Okay. So you were dating at the time then?
We were dating.
Yep, no, but I'm saying you were dating other men or, you know, just nothing serious.
Casually.
Just, okay.
There was no one I really dated
that you were into.
I really felt
like,
would be a good life-term partner.
Right, no Cupid arrow saying, I'm like, you were just having fun,
correct,
you could say.
Right.
Okay. And then, so what happened with Phil then? So he was in Santa Barbara.
I was in Santa Barbara.
And would he come down occasionally? Or
he would come down maybe once a month.
Would you see him or not?
Would
you date him or no? Or were you dating him or no? Did he?
Yeah, we pretty much after about 6 months decided.
Well, no, but like, so how'd that work out though? He would just come down?
Come down.
And you'd go out and say, hey, can I?
Go out.
Okay.
And then.
You never went up. Oh, you would.
I would go up, and so did you. You don't probably remember.
Well, no.
Go up a couple times too.
You mean it's just when you were dating? You mean
when we were dating? He moved.
So I guess what part did you say? Hey, we're serious. I mean, more.
Probably sometime around then.
Okay.
We knew we were serious.
Oh, okay.
But
so it was just
to get remarried
or move, right? Because Phil was working up there.
He was offered a job. Bill Frederick, I'm sure, had a hand in it.
Okay.
They wanted him down here.
Okay.
And so Bill Frederick got him his dream job.
Okay.
Which was for the international business.
Right.
And then for many years, as you remember, he traveled back and forth to Europe. He'd be gone for
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, he maintained his own household and all that.
Yes.
And he would see you, for me, it'd be on the weekends.
On the weekends?
And then we'd have our routine on the weekends would be you guys would probably go out the Saturday night. And then on Sunday, we'd go to church. And then we forced in the back of his Fiat Spider. We'd go to Carl's Jr.
Right.
And then we'd go to the sailing. And so that was the ante back then.
Correct.
We were in kids. And
correct.
So you were, did you guys know maybe that you'd get married down the line? Or did you think Phil was,
I think we suspected,
like,
but the longer it went along, the more comfortable I was with just the relationship the way it was.
Okay.
And finally, when Maura graduated from college, was when Phil said, you know, we probably should get married.
That's wonderful. Okay.
And
who stood in for your wedding? I know this.
My children.
Yeah.
Maura and Gary.
Yeah. That was wonderful. It was an honor. It was an honor because I knew how much he cared about you and loved you. Anybody would have known that about Phil. I guess, what else could I ask about that? So,
well, it turned out I was a little afraid to get married.
Okay.
You might not know that. I moved to Phil's house, the house where I now live. 2 days before the wedding.
Okay.
And I was physically sick.
Because
I was nauseous.
Oh.
Because
interesting.
I was afraid to give up freedom.
Right.
As much as you think you know somebody, I had already.
And you had the task of redecorating his
correct.
What I considered a cool bachelor place. Even though he's been dating you forever, he had that, you know, the colorful things from his travels and.
Correct.
The 70s, definitely.
And tiger wallpaper.
Yes.
In the bathroom.
Yes. I'm sorry, I don't have a picture of that.
Avocado carpet.
Yes. And the Christmas. I remember the Christmas tree.
Yes, which
that
now
we set up for him. Yeah, and you probably got rid of that.
The aluminum one, which I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But
I could use that now.
Okay. And
but
so,
it looks
but
like we're running
no,
out of time.
No, that's it's not completely out yet. So. And unfortunately, you guys were married for so long. How long?
Almost
exactly.
28 years.
Yeah. And together, though, how long?
45.
Right. And unfortunately, as we know, he did pass away in June of this year. Yeah. Of course, it has been.
Even though I knew the last year his health was bad and his... Since about last Christmas, it was really, you could just see him going down.
Yeah, because like you said, you saw him on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So over the last 10 years, I mean, of course, we all age.
Yeah. And I'm glad he was coherent to the end.
Yes.
And, you know, could communicate.
So
is that it?
Is there anything that you, any parting words or?
Well, I'm glad that you came to do this with me. This is good that we talk over these experiences. And
yeah.
I would say now you are the most important person,
well,
even though I love my daughter.
Well, I don't think you should say that.
I love my daughter, but she's not here physically.
Right.
With my grandson.
So,
I love them too.
Yes.
I'm glad a lot of my friends are children. Don't really want to do anything with them.
Well, yeah.
Sons.
I'm a potential caretaker by default.
Yeah.
If I moved off to Hawaii or something, you might be on your own.
I have to hire somebody.
But
I appreciate too. So.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate what I appreciate my whole family. That's probably my.
Well, yeah. I mean, we didn't even get to chances about the Texas group.
No,
but.
We didn't.
Those cousins and everybody.
Yes, they have been an important part of my life, too.
And I could tell by just talking to Kathy the other day that how much they honor you.
Which I'm glad of, because those are your dad's relatives.
Right, which is very interesting, because he didn't maintain a relationship
That's
with them.
That's true, he didn't.
Kathy even mentioned that Phil felt awkward when she'd say, "Your Uncle Phil."
Correct. Right.
And she said, for my time, it was either Uncle Phil or Mr. D.
Yeah, right.
So which is it?
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed hearing that and talking to her yesterday. So
that's good. I had forgotten that.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories
well,
and letting me put one
here.
In.
Yeah. This has been really a fun experience.
I would agree. Thank you.
I think we're just right. Yay. God, I was fast.
Well, it's still recording that, so you could count down.
Oh, how many minutes?
You can say 4, 3, 2, 1.